Well, greetings in Jesus, and welcome to Highways and Byways for the third quarter of 2011. For regular listeners on the mailing list, those that pick up Highways and Byways at a truck stop, do that regularly, or for those who listen and download from the internet locations, you all know what lies ahead over the next 70 minutes or so. For everybody else, what you're about to be subjected to is what we fondly refer to as church out of the box. Talk, good clean humor, evolution versus creation debate, end time updates, a road sign segment, and some pretty good music from independent artists that you're just not going to hear anywhere else. And this time around, with special permission from Ray Stevens, we have a couple of cuts from his newest album, Spirit of 76. You can check out all of Ray's music at www.raystevens.com. So all of that, along with an answer or two from questions that are called into the voicemail line or emailed to us, it all adds up to bring you another edition of Highways and Byways. Later on, I'll tell you how to get connected with us, to be added to the mailing list, get a list of truck stops where Highways and Byways can be picked up, or places to listen online, and even download back issues that you are free to have someone burn the CDs for you if you can't get it done yourself. For now, I'm shooting for a new world's record for the shortest intro track in Highways and Byways history, so as we can get on to everything else we have lined up this time around. I am so very delighted that this third quarter edition has found its way to you. And I hope that you find it a pleasant companion as you travel down the highways and byways of this country we're blessed to be living in. Because despite all of its current troubles, it's still the best place on earth to live.
So, have you found a religion yet?
Here's one. They have nice, friendly people and a lot of easy-to-attend services.
Do you have to give up anything?
You have to go on a 2-year missionary trip.
Oh.
Here's one. They are very structured and have strong values.
Well, that sounds promising.
You have to go door to door.
Isn't there one that allows you to just be good to go to heaven?
This one accepts all religions as valid. They focus on your inner ability to be godly, but you can't eat meat.
Oh, next.
Here's an interesting one.
What do you have to do?
Believe that God paid the price for us to go to heaven.
There's a price?
Yeah, one morally perfect life per person.
I think I've got that covered.
Uh-huh.
What?
Perfect using God's moral standards?
Oh, well, I'm out.
I guess that's the point. God paid the price for us with his son's perfect life, but it's only available to those who believe in his son.
Really? Well, maybe we should check that one out.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
You've got the power to bless or curse, the power to make things better or worse, the power to forgive, though you can't forget. Tighten your gut, deal with the pain, and take the hit. Power to be bigger than myself, power to be strong, power to know that always being right is sometimes being wrong. So pick it, go on, pick it. Everybody's got a cross to bear, and you gotta pick yours up. Pick it, go on. If you're just to pick your cross up, you've got the power just to let it slide. The power to let grace win over pride. The power to keep a cool head in your wits about you. To smile and look for the best to win others doubt you. The power to listen up, the power to rejoice, the power to speak your mind without raising and losing your voice. So pick it up, go on, pick it up. Everybody's got a cross to bear, and you gotta pick yours up. Pick it up, go on, pick it up.
I'll give you peace and power to spend if you're just a pick your cross. You possess a powerful pair of broad shoulders, sturdy ankles and the knees, the power of a servant's heart with a willingness to please, the power to confess your sins, the power to yield, the power of the Holy Spirit within you by which you have been sealed. So pick it up. Go on, pick it up. Everybody's got a cross to bear. You gotta pick yours up. Pick it up. Go on, pick it up. In the end, the crown you wear, if you're just a pick your cross up.
It's good to be back. My oldest now is 17, so it's been a couple years, and every generation's different. I figured some things out. When I was 17, I had long, stringy hair, and my father used to introduce me as his daughter everywhere we went. You know, it's my daughter, Jeff. So I figured out at 17, my problem with my father was he was too old to understand me. So I said, when I have kids, I'm going to be not old enough. I'm going to be understand my children. And I have a 17-year-old at home, and I'm telling you, I am absolutely clueless as to what goes through this boy's brain sometimes. Walking by the living room about 4 months ago, he stops me and says, "Hey, Dad, I need some help." All right. He says, "I don't know if I should get my tongue pierced." He says, "You don't know?" I said, "Oh, I can help you with this one. So lay your tongue on a table. I'll whack it with a hammer. How's that? And I can keep hitting it till the light goes on in your head." You know? What the heck is going through his mind? This kid's still having nightmares from his first immunization shot. You know? Now he wants some guy named Slash to drive a railroad spike through his tongue. You know, it's just... And I told him, I said, "You know how unsanitary that is?" And I'm not kidding. He says to me, "It's at the mall." He said, "It's like a medical clinic. Like a medical clinic. These guys are like doctors." That's what he said, like doctors. Except they didn't go through med school. They went through metal shop. That's the problem. And he's 17 now. He's driving. So we let him drive us to church on Sunday so we can get our prayer time in before we get there. Sometimes there's so many miracles, we just skip church, go right to Cracker Barrel. Shut. That's right. And we go to Cracker Barrel a lot because it's about the only time we all can get a fair meal from that child. Man, this kid eats everything, and I'm ready to get him a trough. Drive you nuts. Food thing's getting out of hand. My wife and I have gotten to the point where we stash food in our bedroom. We hide brownies, cakes, cookies, things so the kids can't get to them. We'll go in the room late at night, and I know the kids think we're doing something else, but we're just under the covers eating brownies and laughing. You hit over 40, it doesn't take a whole lot to get you going, man.
As of late, our focus has been on surveillance and tracking of private citizens. If time allows, I have more material to put out to you in this area. But for now, I want to turn our attention to how our government leaders are falling in lockstep with a global agenda. It may not seem to connect right away, and you're going to need to do a bit of research for yourself online to get up to speed totally. These end time updates on Highways and Byways are supposed to be a condensed version of the House of Prayer Ministries' full end time updates. So either get online and study or wait for the next edition. I wouldn't wait to get educated, though. This is really important stuff. This all connects with end times more than you might realize. In order for the Antichrist to one day gain this full world control, many smaller components must fall into place. Among them is the need to consolidate military power and control humans with a single set of rules and regulations. Now, I know that some Christians feel that it doesn't make a lot of sense to focus on these things very much, and I'll just say this. Jesus spoke about the ability to discern the spiritual season that we're living in, and in doing so, we know how to not only prepare for what lies ahead, we also know how important it is to share the good news of Christ with others now rather than later. Well, let's put some light on what's happening in rural America and local governments at the county, city, and small town levels. Because hiding right out in plain sight is a United Nations agenda to put international laws and regulations into effect without ever going through our constitutional process. In order to lay this out to you, we need to look at three individual components. First, we need to provide you with a very brief overview of something called Agenda 21, which is a United Nations plan to implement global regulations in order to accomplish some worldwide controls on even free nations such as the United States. You need to go ahead and Google the words Agenda 21. You might just develop a headache to go along with an incredible outrage that builds up inside of you. This is evil at our doorstep, disguised as environmental concerns. Now, Agenda 21 is far too deep to read off the entire plan and the goals that they have in place. Agenda 21 is the United Nations battle plan for implementing control over every nation in the world. That's the shortest overview I can give you. There are so many regulations and sub-programs attached to this agenda, I couldn't even begin to scratch the surface if I tried to identify them all. A few things to be aware of would be that Agenda 21 has wording that declares all nations must surrender military capabilities to a level that will only allow them to defend themselves against attack from another nation, for instance, but that the greater military capabilities must rest under the authority of the United Nations. Agenda 21 calls for the elimination of private property ownership in order to give away for what they call social justice. No personal firearms allowed either, except for hunting purposes, if you can get authorization to hunt, that is. But don't hold your breath. The plan calls for control and management of wildlife and natural resources to be under United Nations control as well. Now, if you're willing to do some simple internet searches, you can easily verify everything that I've just stated. It's from their own documentation. Agenda 21 regulations not only set their sights on eliminating your right to land ownership, it even addresses growing your own food. Do you dare to grow a garden with food? Then you're a national security threat by Agenda 21 standards. The agenda calls for up to a $1 million fine and to have your property confiscated if you dare not have, and I quote, an electronic statement with the date of, the names and addresses of all parties to, each prior sale and purchase or trade, and any other information as appropriate. Because, and I continue to quote their document here, every food producer, including home consumer gardens, must have a written food safety plan describing likely hazards, preventative controls that they've implemented, and they must abide by minimum standards related to fertilizer use, nutrients, hygiene, packaging, temperature controls, animal encroachment, and water. That covers everything. Well, that should be enough of an overview of Agenda 21 to make you want to dig into that a little bit more. I almost forgot this little gem, though. They want to eliminate the private ownership and use of motor vehicles in any areas that they designate it necessary to do. That's Agenda 21. Enter the second thing we need to be aware of in order to connect the dots. We move on to the ICLEI. Hey, this story's worth looking at quickly before we really do move on. It started out on a local blog site on the web. It was picked up by a local newspaper and eventually went national on the Drudge Report. It seems that one Julie Bass decided to plant vegetables in her front yard after the lawn was torn up for sewer repairs on her little piece of private property there in Oak Park, Michigan. It also seems that the city doesn't want anybody growing vegetables in their own private front yard. So they ticketed and fined her for it. Well, she has a lawyer now, and she's insisting upon a trial by jury. And good for her, I say. Now, if she loses the case, she gets 93 days in jail as part of the penalty, because when the city found out that she was standing up for herself, they said they would throw the book at her. Now, the city's not quoting Agenda 21 here. They're not saying that it's part of the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives, which we'll get to in a minute. Not any of those rules or standards are being quoted, but our local politicians will be hiding behind interpretations of existing codes in order to comply. Our local governments, our state governments, our federal government all count on one thing, that you won't stand up for yourself. They know most people decided it's easier to just give in and keep on going to work and coming home, turning on the television or playing video games or just zoning out, whatever. We all need to be more like Julie Bass. We all need to support people like Julie Bass when they stand up as well. We need to follow this type of example when we're confronted by others that attempt to control us just because we dare to march to the beat of a different drum. Well, the second thing we need to consider is something called the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives. How do you like that? ICLEI, International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives. Now, it has a subtitle, and it's called Local Governments for Sustainability. It's an international association of local governments with national, regional, local government organizations that have all made a commitment to something called sustainable development. Now, anytime that you hear of committees or organizations or government regulations that have this phrase sustainability in it, you will recognize that it's part of Agenda 21 and their plan. It's passed on down the line with this local governments for sustainability. More than 1,200 cities, towns, counties, and their associations in 70 countries make up this ICLEI's membership. Now, they work with these and, as they say, hundreds of other local governments through international performance-based results-oriented campaigns and programs. My head is spinning just trying to keep track of all of this. Its basic premise is that locally designed initiatives can provide an effective way to achieve local, national, and global sustainability objectives. So in a very tiny nutshell, this group of people are making agreements with your local city and county commissioners, getting them to agree to going green, those kind of policies, and climate change rules that are set from the United Nations. Not that they represent it that way. But you can do a simple Google search, as I said, and do it on the ICLEI. Discover what they're doing. Discover where their funding comes from. I have tried to communicate with you, friends. The fix is in. We are seeing it come to pass in front of us, in full view, with every new regulatory agency, committee, or local government law that sticks its nose into your business. Now listen, Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution states clearly that no state shall enter into any treaty, any alliance or confederation. That same article mandates that no state shall enter into an agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power. What you need to be willing to do is to demand that your local government leadership abide by this constitutional provision. Get their phone numbers and get to work. Find out if they're in any way involved with the ICLEI and then inform them that it's illegal by constitutional law. Do it politely but firmly. City and county governments have been canceling their international agreements, by the way, because local citizens have started to speak up. Be one of them. The third part of this equation is President Obama's recent executive order for establishing a White House Rural Council, which states 16% of the American population lives in rural counties. Strong, sustainable rural communities are essential to winning the future and ensuring American competitiveness in the years ahead. These communities supply our food, fiber, and energy. They safeguard our natural resources and are essential in the development of science and innovation. Though rural communities face numerous challenges, they also present enormous economic potential. The federal government has an important role to play in order to expand access to the capital necessary for economic growth, promote innovation, improve access to health care and education, expand outdoor recreational activities on public lands, I'm glad they threw that one in, and to enhance the federal government's efforts to address the needs of rural America, this order establishes a council to better coordinate federal programs and maximize the impact of federal investment to promote economic prosperity and quality of life in our rural communities. Section 2. There is established a White House Rural Council. Section 3. Membership. The Secretary of Agriculture shall serve as the chair of the council, which shall also include the heads of the following executive branch departments, agencies, and offices. Now listen, folks. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to read a ridiculously long list of government agencies and departments that Obama has thrown in for control and oversight of rural America. Listen very closely as I read these departments off and maybe just count each one that makes you say, what in the world do we need them involved in the private affairs of rural America? Maybe just lift a finger each time you hear a department or agency mentioned that makes you wonder why they need to be further involved in rural life. Here we go. Department of Treasury, Department of Defense, Department of Justice, Department of Interior, Department of Commerce, Department of Labor, Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Housing and Urban Development, Department of Transportation, Department of Energy, Department of Education, Department of Veterans Affairs, Department of Homeland Security, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Federal Communications Commission, what's that? The Office of Management and Budget, the Office of Science and Technology, the Office of National Drug Control Policy, the Council of Economic Advisors, Domestic Policy Council, the National Economic Council, Small Business Administration, the Council on Environmental Quality, the White House Office of Public Engagement and Intergovernmental Affairs, the White House Office of Cabinet Affairs, and such other executive branch departments, agencies, and offices as the President or the Secretary of Agriculture may, from time to time, designate. If you were paying attention, you should have run out of fingers a long time ago. I ask you, what in the world do these agencies need to be further empowered for? I mean, if they have a role to play in rural life and its citizens, aren't they already performing those functions? Why the need to expand those that belong, and why the inclusion of departments that have no current role to play? Well, I can tell you why. It's just a matter of whether you have your eyes and ears open or not. The executive order specifically identifies the food, fiber, and energy resources of rural America, and this president and his advisors plan to redistribute that local hard-earned wealth of food, fiber, and energy, and do what any good socialistic leader would do. Take it from those who have earned it and give it to those who have not, all in the name of the good of the common people, the credo of all Marxists and socialists. Somehow they just don't trust you and me to love our neighbor as ourselves and willingly share when they're in need. Now, as usual, the government wants to come in and show us how to do it more efficiently, which would be a first. Over the years, Ken Ham and the folks at Answers in Genesis have shared their resources to help our listeners build skills in presenting the Bible as true and accurate, even when it comes face-to-face with scientific attempts to discredit God's Word. This time, Ken tackles some common mistakes that Christians often get pulled into when dealing with people that buy into the entire idea of the Big Bang Theory and evolution. We're going to get equipped with a little more information here that'll come in real handy, like in your conversations with anybody that seems to think there's room for the Big Bang idea alongside of God's creation process.
Refuting Compromise, God and the Big Bang.
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the new book on dinosaurs called Dinosaurs for Kids.
I've heard many Christian leaders say that it's okay to believe in the Big Bang as long as you say God used it. But here's the big problem. If you say God did create the universe using the Big Bang, then what God said he did in his word isn't true. You see, if you read Genesis chapter 1, it teaches that God made the earth first, and it was covered with water. The sun, moon, and stars weren't made until the fourth day of creation. Now, as I stated yesterday, the Big Bang teaches that the sun came before the earth, and that the earth formed as a hot molten blob for millions of years, and then water formed. This is the opposite to what God's word clearly teaches. Sadly, when Christians tell people they can believe in the Big Bang, they're also in essence saying, but you don't have to take God at his word. Such compromise has undermined the authority of God's word. According to the Big Bang idea, the stars appeared before the earth did. But the Bible states the stars were made on day four and that the earth was on the first day. So Christians who believe the Big Bang are forced to say the stars appeared on day four, that they became visible on the fourth day, but had been created earlier. That's just not in the biblical text. You have to force that view onto Genesis, and that's not right. The Bible is clear. God made the stars on day four. God did not use the Big Bang. Did you know that comets pose a problem for evolutionists? Because comets can disintegrate quickly, this flies in the face of the evolutionists. You see, they believe our solar system is about 5 billion years old. Well, let me explain. According to evolutionary theory, comets are supposed to be the same age as the solar system, allegedly about 5 billion years ago. Now, each time a comet orbits close to the sun, well, it loses much of its material. There's no way a comet could survive much longer than about 100,000 years. And on this basis, many comets have to be younger than even 10,000 years. You see, the disintegration of comets indicates the universe is very young. One way evolutionists try to get around this is to propose a special cloud somewhere beyond Pluto that somehow gives birth to comets. No one has seen this cloud, but evolutionists believe it must be there because they insist the solar system is billions of years old. But the universe is just a few thousand years old, just as we'd expect from the Bible's chronology.
The July issue of our award-winning Answers magazine is yours for a donation of any size. At 192 pages, it's full of faith-building information. To receive a sample copy, make a donation of any size when you call toll-free 1-888-89-ANSWERS or go to our website of answersoffer.org.
All right, let's start right here. Who out there and all that's there, tell me, raise your hand if you're married, raise your hand. Okay? Now, if you wish you wouldn't, raise it back up. Well, people, let me tell you this. Minnie Pearl summed it up best. She said, getting married is like getting in a big tub of hot water. Once you get used to it, it ain't so hot no more. Now, people, I did grow up poor. I'm the youngest of seven. I have seven brothers and sisters. My uncle lived with us, my mother and father. I did grow up poor. Me and my seven brothers and sisters, we ate the same food, wore the same underwear, and slept in the same bed. I didn't know what it was like to sleep in a bed all by myself until I got married. And people, there's only two things in this whole world that keeps me from being happily married. That's my wife and her mother. Now people, I'm looking at my mother-in-law right dead in the eye right now. Now people, don't get me wrong. I do have a great relationship with my wife. It's because I ain't spoke to her in 15 years. I don't want to interrupt her. Now, I just recently celebrated my 17th wedding anniversary, and I've been traveling with the Gaithers. I'm in Texas, and you know, it was one of those nights, people, where it's Murphy's Law, everything goes wrong. I get bumped in my flight to Dallas-Fort Worth. They finally fly me to Jackson, Mississippi. My plane's late there. I finally get to Atlanta, Georgia. My manager's late to pick me up there. My wife's done called me twice and left me two hateful messages on my cell phone, so I just turn it off. So people, I finally get back to my little farm in Fort Valley, Georgia at 12 o'clock at night, straight up, my anniversary night. Well, people, I live in a dark area, a lot of pine trees, so I decided to go around back and go through the back door and just don't bother my wife upstairs sleeping, and I'll just go on in and sleep on the couch where I normally sleep, and I won't bother her none tonight, and maybe she'll cool down some by in the morning. Well, I'm trying to find my key, people, and about that time, the door opens real fast like, and it's my wife, all dressed up. She says, uh-huh, you forgot. I said, no, I didn't, baby. I know tonight's our anniversary. She said, well, you're going to take me someplace I've never been. So I picked her up and took her to the kitchen. I see some of you women's had that done to you too.
Down every road, there's a turn and it's a rusty tune. Just remember that the road of God is straight, and He will lead you through.
Falling rocks. You don't see those signs too much on the big roads anymore. Most of the roads are made in such a way these days that it's just not a major issue, unless there's an earthquake that seriously changes things. But you get onto a smaller highway and go through a mountain pass, and you're likely to see a few of those signs. Now, it's bad enough if you hit one of those rocks on the road. It can do a pretty hefty amount of damage. Break things up real good underneath your truck. Or real bad, to be exact. Sometimes those rocks do serious damage without ever hitting them. And just by attempting to swerve out of the way, folks wind up running off the road, over the guardrail, and maybe falling right on top of a big stone sitting right there off the road. You could survive that in a big truck, especially if you have your seatbelt on and providing you weren't traveling at the speed of idiocy to start with. You can come to rest on a big rock, total your truck, and get out of the situation with maybe a few broken bones and a host of cuts and scrapes. And, of course, a little bit of crushed pride just to put the proverbial salt in the wound. I mean, after you get all patched up and they pull your truck back up off the road, you've got that really unhappy responsibility to face the one that you have to give account to about the whole mess. Not a real pleasant thought, to be sure. On the other hand, imagine if that rock had fallen right on through your windshield and met up with your face at 45 or 50 miles an hour. Both you and I know you wouldn't be in a position to call anybody ever again. There'd be no second chance, and for you, it'd be over and done with. Lights out on life as you know it. Now, that's not a really nice picture at all. But if you wind up falling on the rock instead of the rock falling on you, well, let's just say that your odds are so much better. And regardless of the crushed pride that comes with falling on that big stone, there's still the consolation that, depending on how you look at things, it's a lot better to be in a position to be thankful than to be in a position of irreversible regrets. There's a Bible passage that comes to mind concerning falling rocks, and I thought it might get us to thinking just a little bit. It's from the book of Matthew, right around the 21st chapter. And there Jesus said, "Any man falling on this stone will be broken, but he on whom it comes down on will be crushed to dust." It's kind of interesting, don't you think? I mean, there were no big trucks and no signs saying falling rocks. But the principle applied even way back then. So what was the Lord trying to tell everybody with his observation of the falling rock? Well, it'd be quite a bit easier to wrap your brain around it if you first understand that from the Old Testament to the New, a rock has been used as a type are example of God's supply, His protection and provision for people, and, well, the Lord's even been directly referred to the rock many times. Look into Psalm 18. There it says, "The Lord is my rock, my Savior, my God, and my rock. In Him will I put my faith." A little further on down in verse 31, again it says, "Who is God but the Lord?" Or, "Who is a rock but our God?" You can move on into the New Testament. Jesus Himself is our rock there. Consider 1 Corinthians 10. The Apostle Paul was inspired to write about the day when Moses struck the rock and God provided for the people. And here's what Paul wrote. "They all took the same holy food and the same holy drink, for they all took of the water from the holy rock which came after them, and the rock was Christ." So we can understand now that Jesus, who is God come in the flesh, is called the rock. So when Jesus told the people, "Any man falling on this rock will be broken, but he on whom it comes down on will be crushed to dust," He was teaching a principle that would help them begin their personal relationship with Jesus, the rock of our salvation. You see, if you let yourself fall onto Christ, the rock, there's going to be some broken things that come to pass. First thing that comes to mind is that the spell of the curse, the sin curse in your life, will be broken. Now, that can hurt some, because when you let your spirit fall on the stone, it breaks the fleshly areas of your life. The soulish part of you that's been trying to avoid coming in contact with the rock of your salvation. Makes sense, doesn't it? Jesus loves the worst of sinners, my friend. You're not so bad that Jesus won't forgive you. He just breaks those areas of our life that keeps us from going to heaven to be with the Lord. He breaks those old bones of sin and fleshly desires. I got to be honest, it hurts a bit even now, in my own life, after 40 years of knowing Him as my rock. That's because I'm still stuck in this body of flesh, and it's always at war with my spirit. There's a bit of pride involved. A little salt in the proverbial wound, if you will. Anytime that my flesh wants to do one thing, and my reborn spirit is hearing God's Holy Spirit saying, "That's not such a good idea," or, "That was not pleasing to your Lord, and you need to repent." Ouch! That breaks me a bit, you know? But the rock is always there. He's immovable. But if you can imagine the alternative, coming to the end of your life, and because you refuse to fall on the rock and be broken, instead, the full weight of the rock comes down upon you, kind of meets you directly in the face while you're traveling at the speed of eternity. And that's it. No second chance. Time to come face to face with the one you need to be accountable to. It's not a real pretty picture either if that rock falls on you, but fall on the rock and you can survive and thrive. Oh, maybe a little pride was broken in the process, but I'm thinking it's much better to be in a position of thankfulness in the end than to be in a position of eternal regrets. Falling rocks. Lord, help me fall upon you in this life so I don't ever have to experience that rock falling on me.
Get the God's love to a world. was hurting. Oh, came so small. Jesus, the Savior, the most precious gift of all. A humble lady was she, and so naive. Did she comprehend what her son would achieve? She gave herself so fulfill God's will. Would she understand what her son would fulfill? The greatest gift was a gift from above. The promise of redemption and the gift of God's love. It's a gift from above. The promise of redemption. Oh, yeah, and the gift of God's love. There is no greater gift than the gift that was given to us. The gift of God's Son, the greatest gift, was a gift from above. The promise of redemption, oh, and the gift of God's love. The greatest gift was a gift from above.
In an all-night cafe on the outskirts of town, it was a booth in the corners where I sat down. The smell of fresh coffee and day-old perfume filled the air. Except for the cook and a waitress named Grace, there was one other couple and me in the place, and I had to wonder, Lord, what am I doing here? Well, the waitress walked over with a half-hearted smile and said, haven't seen you in here in a while. But a good place to eat this time of the night's hard to find. I said, this old half dollar's all the money I've got. Some of that coffee would sure hit the spot. And I'd like to be left alone if you don't mind. She said, you're more than welcome. Stay as long as you want to, and I'm working all night if you need someone to talk to. You see, there's times in our lives we need a friend who could help some. So just take your time, because you're more than welcome. Well, it was a little stone church, the other side of town. Pew in the back rows where I sat down. Sounds of gospel music and old-fashioned prayer filled the air. Little bent preacher with years on his face was holding the Bible and talking about grace, and once again I had to wonder, Lord, what am I doing here? Then from out of nowhere, someone took my hand, and I heard that preacher's voice ask me to stand. And I hit the floor right there on my knees. I said, preacher, you'll never know what I've been through, but I'd like the peace of mind God's given you. And I'd like to pray here a while, if you please. He said, you're more than welcome. Pray as long as you want to. And Jesus is right here if you need someone to talk to. You see, there's times in our lives we need a friend who could help some. So just take your time, because you're more than welcome. Storyteller said that. Good day.
You need the phone number to the White House? No problem. You can leave comments at area code 202-456-1111. You can call the switchboard directly at area code 202-456-1414. I spent the entire End Times Update segment attempting to lay out a strategy that's in play by just three of many, many progressive, liberal, and socialistic groups. I know it sounds so strange to some folks to be hearing these names, socialistic and progressive liberals, but this is where we're at, gang. These are not name-calling tactics, by the way. This is how they identify themselves. These groups have a desire to move us into a socialized nation in order to line up with the world model that's imposing itself on everybody that lacks a spine or is simply too busy thinking about themselves, not their children and their children's children. But the people who want to fundamentally change our free way of life just keep creating programs under different names and come at their goals from different angles. And in the end, their purpose is to bypass constitutional law by appealing to international law, to skirt around federal, state, county, and city regulations by pointing out that they have an agreement with the United Nations International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives to do things or not do things their way. So what can you do about it? Well, lots, actually. You can start communicating politely to your city councils and your county commissioners. Ask them if the city or county is part of this arrangement or has any affiliation with the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives, ICLEI. If they do, kindly point out to them Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution states clearly, no state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, and it also mandates no state shall enter into an agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power. Tell them that you want them to cancel the contract or agreements with the ICLEI, if one exists, and tell them to back away from compliance to any international standards with regard to environmental rules or laws that they've allowed to influence decisions made on a local level for you as a private citizen of the United States and a tax-paying part of your local community. Do you get it? You need to stand up and take control in your own community. Call somebody at home if you're out on the road. Ask them to give you the local phone numbers for your city council members or your county commissioners. Better yet, ask to see any documentation that they have concerning the ICLEI. That's the best way to smoke this out. They may not even be aware of it themselves until you start asking the questions. Previous commissioners or council members may have started this mess. If the documentation exists, you're entitled to know of it and to see it. Get somebody that you know back home that has the tenacity of a pit bull, with a muzzle perhaps, and turn them loose. Then, here's what else you can do. Call the White House and strongly object to the newly created White House Rural Council and the overreaching implications of the federal government into your local government's affairs. You need the phone number to the White House? No problem. You can leave comments at area code 202-456-1111. You can call the switchboard directly at area code 202-456-1414. I left those White House phone numbers at the very front of this segment, so you don't have to listen to the whole thing. Just go back to the start of the track when you're ready to write these numbers down. Don't know exactly what to say? Well, if you want to, you can take what I said and put it into your own words. Here's what I said. I wish to express my great displeasure with your decision to create a White House Rural Council. The extensive list of federal agencies included in the executive order causes me to be ever more convinced that your desire to control and redistribute wealth and resources that individuals in their local governments have worked very hard to create knows no boundaries when it comes to your personal concept of what our government must do. My personal belief is that what my government must do includes staying out of the personal affairs of individuals and their local governments. The food, fiber, and energy that your executive order speaks of will assist this country on the road to economic prosperity much better if the federal government simply allows free enterprise to take its natural course. Thank you for hearing my concerns. May God bless you and empower you with the courage to change the course in the way that you are leading this nation. Now, my voice is not the only one that they've heard objecting to this issue, friends. But every one of us that will take the time to do this actually represents thousands of people that they know feel the same way. It really does make a difference. So call the White House and remind them that they work for you. You do not work for them, and you don't appreciate the way they're doing whatever it is that you object to. Now, again, be polite, but there's no law keeping you from calling every single day of your life. Finally, here's something else you can do, and have a lot of fun with it in the process. When you hear somebody complaining on the CB and bellyaching about what the president is doing and what Congress is doing and what the senators are doing, you wait for your chance, ask for a breaker, and then give them the phone numbers to the White House. Here they are again, at the front of this track and right here. Area code 202-456-1111. Or the switchboard directly at 202-456-1414. Drivers, can you imagine the impact of thousands of drivers calling into the White House on a regular basis to express their displeasure with current policies? Can you imagine what impact it will have if every driver calling in also communicates that they've arranged for securing their absentee ballots for the elections in 2012? You really need to do this, drivers. They'll get the picture real quick. Look, there are about 2 million active over-the-road and regional drivers out there on the highways and byways of this country. Enough drivers start calling in and they'll understand that somebody finally found a way to get far more than just three drivers to agree on something. They'll wonder how in the world you all got organized and began to participate in taking this country back from them. Think about it if you must, and then get involved. Make your calls, identify yourself as a truck driver, and give out the White House phone numbers each and every day, and do it until some other driver tells you he already has the White House numbers and he's already calling, and then keep giving them out. If enough folks begin to do this nationally, and if enough folks begin to do this on a local level, it'll be backing up the legal moves that freedom-loving constitutionalists are making all over this country to kick the International Council of Environmental Initiatives out of the United States and send them packing back to the United Nations. If you continue to do this on the White House level with national issues, they'll get the message that a new force to be reckoned with has figured out how to organize themselves. Now, why am I making such a big deal out of all of this and throwing it into an End Times update or a follow-up to the update as this is? My friends, the way that we arrive at fulfillment of Revelation 13 is by a systematic dismantling of our Constitution. Letting our government leaders enter into agreements with foreign powers is one of the subtle ways that they accomplish their goals. Not making your voice heard on the national level only makes them think that you don't understand how much power you have in your hands. These people are sliding under the radar in the name of climate change and environmental safety. But the authority that they gain in this area will allow them to control even the freedom of your local lifestyles if you let them get away with it. We have maintained a toll-free voicemail line for the last 10 years that doubles as the House of Prayer Ministries line and this Highways and Byways production. We've also maintained a website and email address for folks to contact us that way, along with a snail mail address. Now, the reasons to call us or write, well, there are many. Some contact us to ask for personal prayer. Maybe a personal need, maybe somebody you care about that maybe their spiritual condition isn't so great. You know, you'd be surprised how many drivers call in to complain about their unsaved spouses, but never bother to ask for prayer for them to be saved. Go figure. Some folks call in, email, or write letters because they want to ask a Bible or a spiritual-related kind of question. We love to take these questions and spend time answering them on future editions of Highways and Byways. Once in a blue moon, somebody figures out how to share a short word or encouragement or a testimony and do it under 4 minutes so that we can share it with folks. The key there is short, 3 to 4 minutes. Well, even less frequently than that, but once in a while, somebody contacts us to let us know that they like Highways and Byways productions so much that they want to help the ministry by contributing prayer and finances. Now, any regular listener knows that we make Highways and Byways free to anybody and everybody. No charges, no strings attached, no long-winded pleas for money. It's not been our style over the years. Some folks have told me for a long time that I'm missing out on financial help because I don't sell this production or charge a yearly fee or just make stronger requests for help. But my position remains as it has always been. The Lord will speak to the hearts of individuals to come alongside of this ministry, and it's not my job to hound them. I'll leave that to the ministries that charge the ridiculous amounts for what God has given them to give to you. Go figure that. I suppose those that are drawn to the commercialization of Christianity will just keep on sending these type of ministries their $19.95s and their $29.95s for what can easily be done for less than $5. And the Lord will move upon the hearts of people for helping this ministry so that when one responds, it won't be because we've hawked God's word for a price, but because they made a connection with the Creator of the universe and heard that voice in their heart to join in giving these Highways and Byways CDs away to more and more folks. Because that's what we do. We just give more and more away. Whatever the reason, I'm encouraged by your calls, your emails, and your letters when they do come in. They just keep us going with new energy, my friends. But nobody sustains us like the Holy Ghost. I sure hope you have this kind of relationship with the Lord. He really will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. That's what He's been doing for us for years. So call us, testify, encourage other drivers with a short word. Ask a Bible question or a spiritual God kind of question. Tell us what your prayer needs are. These are the reasons that we're here. These are the things that we do. Now, until next time, my friends, may God smile upon everything that you set your heart and hands to do, and especially those things that you set your heart and hands to do for others. It's time for the speed credits. Track 2, Lifeline Productions, Selecting a Religion. Track 3, Power by Leighton Howerton. That was our first song. Track 4, Comedy Spot Number 1 by Jeff Allen. Track 6 was Song Number 2, We the People
by Ray Stevens.
You can check out all Ray Stevens' new stuff at www.raystevens.com. Track 7 was Our Friends from Answers in Genesis. Thanks so much for sharing your resources. Track 8, Comedy Spot Number 2, Gary Claxton, talking to us a little bit about marriage. Track 10 was Song Number 3, The Greatest Gift by 3 Days Wait. On to track 11, we had Storyteller with his rendition of More Than Welcome. And by the way, give Storyteller a call if you want to get involved with distribution of Highways and Byways. Have a little talk with him and you might just get hooked up. You can also call Storyteller to be added to the mailing list for future Highways and Byways productions. If for some reason you just can't get back by the truck stop that you picked this one up at, if you picked it up at a truck stop. Track 13, Song Number 4, Thrill the Bums Out by Ray Stevens. And a very special thank you to Robert for taking the time to stop at a truck stop chapel there at Exit 10 in Ohio and inviting the chaplain there to listen to a Highways and Byways and consider starting to make them available there. We're in the process of adding that as another location where Highways and Byways are available. So God bless you, Robert, for being a good highway minister out there for us. Finally, all credit to the three that I admire most, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And no, I didn't make that one up, but a good saying like that just shouldn't be wasted. Okay, I'm going to go now because I'm way overdue. Been hanging around way too long. Just couldn't help myself. I had to get every last second on this CD that I could. Because you know what some say about me? They say that if you ask me what time it is, I'll tell you how to build a watch. I kind of always thought that was kind of rude, but I got over it because it's really kind of funny, you know. Well, I suppose it has some truth to it. Look how much I keep on talking here, and you didn't even ask me what time it was. Well, just for the heck of it, I'll tell you, it's 12:36 right now, but it wouldn't be that time by the time you got this unless it was some kind of cosmic occurrence that let you play this track at exactly 12:36 on some other day or night, for that matter. It's just one of those crazy kind of things that happens once in a while in a blue moon. Hey, whatever you do, don't ask me about a blue moon. I'll start telling you how to build a universe. And that's pretty stupid because I have no clue how to build a universe. I just can't help myself. It's time to go. It's time to quit. I gotta stop.
You know, the Bible is at the very heart of the Christian faith. Without it, we don't have the steady, dependable directions for life that we so desperately need. Just as we need food and water for our physical survival, we need God's spiritual food for our soul survival. And there are people who have picked up a Bible and tried to understand it all at once, only to become frustrated or discouraged. It's not that kind of book, though, is it?
Uh-oh. I think he's having one of those epiphanies.
I think you're right, Squeezo. I can see that little light bulb blinking over his head this very moment.
Oh, come on, guys. Give me a break here. Right now I have this picture of our basement shelves, and my wife has them lined up with all kinds of food that she's canned from summer and early fall. There's no way I'm going to go down there and grab every jar off the shelf, carry it upstairs, and devour it in one sitting. No, I'm going to grab me a jar of pickled garlic and put a little bit of that on the plate along with the main course and maybe some of them sweet peppers while I'm at it. And I might even crack open a jar of her peaches for dessert. But I'm not going to be able to take in the whole thing in one sitting. It's going to take me a long time to be able to devour all of that food. There's a passage that kind of makes this analogy. Jesus said it in John 6:35. There he said, "I'm the bread of life, and he that comes to me shall never go hungry, and he that believes on me shall never go thirsty." So I'm thinking, if a person would approach the Bible as though it was a lifetime supply of food, maybe they wouldn't try to take it in all at once. Maybe they'd just open up the Bible each day, read a little bit of what God has for them that day, and then digest it proper-like. Think of the Bible as real soul food. Hey, chances are you've eaten something for your body this day, but have you had your spiritual meal?